about creating a very much for public health office, so. The parents would be supervising this, monitoring this hearing, and in fact, we're scheduled for a formal hearing in 2 weeks, and where she would actually sit in as the public auditors representative, as if she were public auditor for purposes of the decision. Teresa, can you help us with my assistant? And I'll ask her to run the state for her first.
Elise McDonald for the Government of Guam Retirement Fund.
Jay Ariel for Administrative Services Corporation. Present also is David John, President.
Tom Tarpley, substituting in for Anthony Camacho as attorney for Jay Western.
Okay, today was to be the second pre-hearing meeting, and I was to be oral argument on the motion to unseal records. At the last meeting, in fact, the first pre-hearing, Dan Summerflight asked for a continuous until he had a chance to come up to speed. Anthony Camacho, who had actually been representing Greg Buskin, had been off island, so now we have a substitution of counsel. And I just want to ask, are you prepared to make argument today, or would you like more time?
I'm fine, Mr. Chairman. I've read the submittals of the parties. I just have a few supplemental comments to make, and otherwise I've just submitted on the other agenda.
Okay. We'll begin with you. Okay. I should mention that at the pre-hearing, I stated that I was inclined to deny the motion, but I did want to give an opportunity for some arguments.
Okay. The documents that are requested, that we know that are relevant to the issues, and they're relevant to the issues as to what the deliberations were of the panel to come to the conclusions that are especially required, like the threshold to go ahead and award or to sustain protest. And the objection is that they're although they're relevant, they're privileged and confidential. About various regulations, and I just want to add comment that I think that that the respondent is just overstating the privilege, and I would just note on page 5 of their respondent brief, she basically says the 2GAR Division 4, Chapter 3, Section 3114I2 expressly prohibits the disclosure of any, underline any, information pertaining to any proposal. And therefore, anything that came out in negotiations and things is absolutely prohibited. And actually, that regulation doesn't state that. It doesn't state that broadly. It says that information contained in proposals. Proposals that were submitted. So those are the actual proposals themselves, or derived from proposals submitted by others. So I just say that the protection is limited to the actual proposals, and we are not requesting the proposals of the other officers. We are requesting the specific documents to evidence the findings of the retirement fund that Great Western's bid price was unreasonable, and if they came up with this 2.5% fee as a basis, and I think Great Western's entitled to know that since that wasn't in the solicitation, how did they come up with that? So there's also reference. I think that their objection is too broad. We were not asking for the proposals themselves. But the main thing we want to find out is what were the criteria that was used by the retirement fund to determine that Great Western's price of 0.27% was just entirely unreasonable. And included in that would be the disclosure of the retirement fund research regarding comparative third-party fees, including those proposals. I don't know what you're talking about, third-party fees. Are we talking about other jurisdictions? And we don't know how, by any means, that would be confidential. Those are a matter of public records in other jurisdictions, if that's indeed what they're referring to. There's indications that the retirement fund did consult these established other jurisdictions, and we would just like to see them, see records of that. It's beyond comprehension of why that would be confidential trade secrets. So those are things we find that are important and necessary for us to be able to prove our case on this. Because the fundamental objection was that the retirement fund's criteria was incorrect. And that we will argue more in 2 weeks, but we need to get it fleshed out, because all we're left with is just some statements in the rejection letter stating that it's unreasonable, this fee, and therefore we're going to reject it, and we want to see the basis of how they came up with that. And that is specifically what is allowed in the regulations, and that is subject to Mr. Cruz's scrutiny as well. The backup position, I guess, was that even if you found it was confidential and privileged, it should not be produced, you could view it in camera and make your own determinations independently. But we would like to see it. So that's all I have to add.
Okay.
I'll just argue that mostly, as you're aware, this bid process is not complete. No award has been made, and so under the regulations, it's clear that if there's a bidder who has not won the award, then the stuff that he submits to the fund isn't part of the public record, and that's set out by regulation. So that's definitely confidential and not part of the public viewing. But in addition to that, I think it's important to look at, I guess, the documents that they're seeking to look at. And the first are a few documents from the fund. One is the third party, or the comparative analysis. And there hasn't been an award yet. And in fact, we have ASC in the room here. And so if the fund is to continue any negotiations with ASC, it would be disclosing some of that criteria that it would be using to judge whether or not those whatever offer ASC had would be fair and reasonable. And we think that would just be to reveal this information now would be to the detriment of the fund and the integrity of the process. And then the other documents that they're seeking to disclose come from ASC and are authored by ASC and contain elements of their offer. And so clearly those are also falling within the procurement regulations for the description of documents that are still confidential. The offer hasn't been made, the process is still ongoing, and disclosure of any of the information that they're seeking would just be to the detriment of the fund and the integrity of the procurement process.
What we're asking for is to see the backup showing how the retirement plan came to its conclusion that Great Western's price was unreasonable.
An interested party, and of course, one of the bidders here, because as Ms. McDonald indicated, no award has been made. All bids and all information in all bid proposals and subsequent information provided at the request of the fund for all parties, not just ASD, but for all parties, remains confidential. You would seriously damage the process by ordering disclosure of information regarding proposals prior to any award being made. I mean, that's the competitive nature of this thing. You open up everybody's proposals, Great Western gets to see what everybody else does, and then once it's rebid, because no award has been made yet, they get to use ASC's information to cut it. And that's the specific reason behind these proposed rules and regulations, which prohibit the disclosure of information until such time as the award is granted and that awardee's information can be disclosed. Thank you.
Okay. Based on my review of the pleadings and the arguments that I've heard, I will provide a motion. So we are now moving towards the person that we saw at first and foremost.
January 21st at 10 a.m.
January 21st. Okay. The reason for having these hearings is to try to flesh out issues, try to narrow down things to be discussed, witnesses, if any. So, first of all, is there any problem with that thing?
No.
No.
So we can have the formal hearing.
That is Martin Luther King. By the way, the government of Guam does not recognize Martin Luther King.
No, but they can be such a discovery day or something.
I'm okay with that thing.
Okay, time, did you set a time?
On the 21st?
Yes.
10 a.m. in the morning.
10 a.m. did you say the
courtroom? No, I did not.
We'll need to verify that the courtroom is available. If not, then we would have it here. But we normally have the formal hearings in the former district.
Well, this is the first administrative procedure deal I've been through. I mean, I've done this protest a lot, but we never had a chairman of the field board, so we never went this way. We went right ahead into the Supreme Court. How does do you anticipate, or would you require us to put on a fact-finding hearing? At least I discussed before this hearing today, that does not appear to be necessary. All the matters are that of public record, and it's been brief. Mr. Demacia did a pretty good job, and so I see a very abbreviated presentation by myself.
I'd agree with that. I don't anticipate putting on any witnesses or presenting exhibits. You have the full agency record in front of you, as well as briefing by both parties at least twice. So I would limit that day's presentation to arguments based on the papers that have been submitted already.
Okay, good. And actually, the only reason that we have them is hearing. Instead of making the decision on the pleadings, is when we submitted his request or finding. So we'll go ahead then, and assuming we have no trouble then with utilizing that courtroom on that day.
The Superior Court, right? You're talking about the Superior Court?
Upstairs.
No. Oh, the District Court, okay.
The old
District Court.
It's now District Conference Room.
That's not federal.
No, it's a government.
What are you watching that day?
Yes.
Yes, anyway, he'll either be there or here. We'll push forward with Richard's conclusion. And again, by law, we have 30 days from the hearing day to issue a final decision. And I assume that we'll be able to make that date. although the public auditor, again, herself is not available and will not be at the hearing. Lily Perez will sit in as in the place of the public auditor for purposes of the deliberation and decision. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.